for the past 28 years, being a new Vanuatu and also mostly live with the communities, there seems to be a lot of challenges to the life of the indigenous people. And with my experience, I've seen a lot of changes, and those changes does not reflect the perceptions that will better address the issues that are affecting the indigenous people in Vanuatu. So I come from a community where we've gone through a lot of challenges, and I myself live in a settlement for the past 35 years, and I've moved from that trench of being in a settlement area to become one of the government directors. And I have this dream that I want the people in the community to live the type of life that I am in now. And I always reflect that types of living as it's a blessing that God given blessing. Like, for example, if we look at the spiritual concepts of prosperity, like the Bible talks about prosperity, but it seems that in Vanuatu a lot of us go to church, but we are not receiving that sort of prosperity that it has been promised, you know, in the word of God. So 28 years, looking around the environment closer to me, there are more people that are coming outside, and they have been prosper, and the real indigenous people, their lives are going down, and they're working very, very hard, but they've never reached a sort of life that they want to achieve. So it is one of my desires that one day I will try to mobilize the community and then set up a political party to try to get inside the government and assist to address some of these issues that is currently impacting the life of our indigenous people. So the political party that we started was derived from a conference that we host last year. That conference was organized purposely for the people of West Papua to help them in their struggle, because the people of West Papua are also struggling to get their independence. And the leaders of some of our late leaders, like for example Father Waldelini, made a statement in the United Nations that Vanuatu will get its full independence unless all our Melanesian countries and neighbors are independent. So with that sort of a philosophical speech, we believe that as a Melanesian neighbor to our brothers from West Papua, we have to take some responsibility to help lobby their grievances or their concern about what is happening. For the past 28 years, being a new Vanuatu and also mostly live with the communities, there seems to be a lot of challenges to the life of the indigenous people. And with my experience, I've seen a lot of changes, and those changes does not reflect the perceptions that will better address the issues that are affecting the indigenous people in Vanuatu. So I come from a community where we've gone through a lot of challenges, and I myself live in a settlement for the past 35 years, and I've moved from that trench of being in a settlement area to become one of the government directors. And I have this dream that I want the people in the community to live the type of life that I am in now. And I always reflect that types of living as it's a blessing that God given blessing. Like, for example, if we look at the spiritual concepts of prosperity, like the Bible talks about prosperity. But it seems that in Vanuatu a lot of us go to church, but we are not receiving that sort of prosperity that it has been promised, you know, in the Word of God. So 28 years, looking around the environment closer to me, there are more people that are coming outside and they have been prosper. And the real indigenous people, their lives are going down, and they're working very, very hard, but they've never reached the sort of life that they want to achieve. So it is one of my desire that one day I will try to mobilize the community and then set up a political party to try to get inside the government and assist to address some of these issues that is currently impacting the life of our indigenous people. So the political party that we started was derived from a conference that we hosted last year. That conference was organized purposely for the people of West Papua to help them in their struggle, because the people of West Papua are also struggling to get their independence. And the leaders of some of our late leaders, like for example Father Walter Lini, made a statement in the United Nations that Vanuatu will get its full independence unless all our Melanesian countries and neighbors are independent. So with that sort of a philosophical speech, we believe that as a Melanesian neighbor to our brothers from West Papua, we have to take some responsibility to help lobby their grievances or their concern about what is happening. It is now promoting a trend of development that it is more conducive to foreigners rather than protecting the integrities of the indigenous people. So if we continue this trend, then it is those who love the foreign system that will have the benefits and the dreams of this nation, and then the original people or the indigenous people will become victim of the decisions that has been taken just after when we are independent, which is very much influenced by foreigners.
Foreign aid for foreign investors. There's a new ring road being built with US aid around the island of Efate, where Port Vila, the capital city of Vanuatu, is. And this is going to have a dramatic effect on people's lives when there'll be less driving on dirt roads and dodging ditches and all those fun things you do. But also what will happen is that the land values will skyrocket when people can drive around the island in 90 minutes. So we recently toured around this island and saw that there were developments about every 7 to 10 kilometres. And everywhere you look, there are real estate businesses, and it seems like there's more real estate shops here than any other business. You've been telling me that Vanuatu is 89% foreign owned. How does that feel as a Ni Vanuatu, and what do you think can be done about it?
Yeah, when I said 89% foreign owned, I'm reflecting to this island, Efate.
Yep.
Yes. I know that the trends to extend the sale of land is expanding to the provinces, and if we are not careful, what is happening in this island, Efate, it is likely that it will also spread into other islands. Like for example, Sando is one of the islands that now the investors are very much interested in, island of Sando, because it's the biggest island in Vanuatu. But like you have mentioned, of course, the land issues in Vanuatu currently, as you have mentioned, there is a lot of land speculations. People in Vanuatu did not yet convinced, and I'm specifically referring to educated people. They are still not yet convinced that land is more valuable than any other things. But if you talk to the elders in the villages, they will say that land is more important. But maybe because young educated people nowadays attend universities, a lot of them attend universities and studying on economics, they are so attractive with all these formulas to come back and promote the economic sort of developments that it is currently, you know, applied in many developed countries, but now it's affecting them. But if you talk to an elder people, those people value the land. So there is a conflict between people who are educated, the whole village elders who are educated in a traditional sort of knowledge, and young people who have the opportunity after independence, they have the opportunity to go to university and learn about all different economic systems when they come in. Those two knowledge, they, you know, clash. But unfortunately, the traditional knowledge is, you know, is gradually falling down, yeah, badly, while the economic sort of system that is now promoted by those who went to school overseas and come back, because it's really it is attractive because it comes with money. It comes with money, so that's something that really it's really currently partly affecting our country at the moment, because those who went to school and learned about economics, how to develop this capitalist system, they come in and then they become the focal points in the country for, you know, to pass the aid through them, you know, World Bank coming in and IMF coming through. These people who are, you know, they've studied economics and they know that they know more than the traditional leaders. So when this organization meet with this type of people who have gone to overseas studies and come back, and they acted as a focal point for the system, they work with the aid donors, like you mentioned about aid donors. They work with all these economists from different respective banks, like Asian Development Bank, and they develop legislations. And these engineers, I would say, the local advisors who held high positions, director generals, they work closely with all these international donors, and then they develop all these legislations and then influence our politicians, and then the politicians agreed on those laws, on those legislations, then really it is implemented, then it really affects our systems. But we don't have advisors who have a lot of experience in which they can come in to Vanuatu and assist our engineers and assist our politicians to know the values of land. I believe myself that the current Ministry of Land don't have the knowledge at all how they can value the land, because if you look at the scholarship department, priorities are given to students who take economics, or who priorities, a lot of the priority scholarships were given to economics. So that means that the more our Nivan go and study economics, the more they'll come back. And then it is a selective sort of TAs, the Vanuatu government will employ them, or probably the Vanuatu government most of the time did not have the money to buy the DAs, but the bank comes in with their own economic DAs, so they mobilize our local DAs and then they convince the government that this is the way to go. Like just 10 years ago, 1998, the ADB government fund a comprehensive reform program. So a lot of our legislations were converted, were changed from the previous legislations, like for example from 1980 to 1998, there are areas of businesses that are preserved only for Nivan, like for example the shipping industry is only preserved. There is legislations that only protect indigenous people to run shipping industry. In 1998, with the support of the ADB program, the government decided to open up the shipping industry. So it allows foreigners to come, and then Ni Vanuatu cannot compete with them. So now we have a policy direction that was implemented in 1998 through the reform program. That policy directions was basically to promote the competitive environment. That policy direction is called private sector-led growth policy. So within 10 years, that policy, we are experiencing the negative impact of that, because Ni Vanuatu cannot compare with foreigners who comes in with a lot of money. But I personally did not see any legislations that promote the values of land so that we can protect our resources. Oh, I've never seen any policy paper that promotes the values of land. The values of land is very low, and a lot of people comes in pay land in a very small amount of money, and then later on, maybe after 2 or 3 years, they sell it off on a very big amount of money, and that's really what is happening now. So we have a lot of real estate agents here. In the past, my observation since 1980, I did not see real estate, maybe one or two, but now we have more than probably 10 real estate agents now in Vanuatu. So what they are doing here is because of the poor legislations that we have in terms of land, which is not protective for us in Vanuatu, but it allows them to come and buy land and keep it until when the values of land is high, the infrastructure is built, it has value to those land, then they sell it in big amount of money, then it attracts wealthy people to come to Vanuatu. So yes, I would say that it's a real concern, but a lot of New Vanuatu are very passive people, so we only remain silent until somebody come and tell us. But of course, we are very respective people of about we respect the law as well, but most of us don't know our rights. So with what you are doing here will help us with some information as to how we can mobilize and inform people about what is happening in Vanuatu and it's affecting us. And we believe that whatever information you are sharing with us, we can always help and share each other to advance or try to help the government to redirect the current course that is now taking.
And so you said people are buying and selling real estate, they're flipping it. There are countless vacant blocks of land throughout Villa. The city is sprawling either direction, and it seems like speculators have their shark fins on. They're zeroing in. Now Virgin Airlines, you can get flight to Vanuatu for $85 plus $220 in taxes. So it's not quite that cheap, but you can get here virtually cheaper than flying to Perth from Melbourne. What are some of the figures, you know, what are they buying this land for, and how much are they selling it for, you know, how much money are they making?
Well, recently we had a case, yeah? There is a land, it's a customary land, and we have decided to launch a claim to claim that land, because we have a history with this island. And then we decided to stop that land. But there's somebody who lives in that land is claiming that the land belongs to him, And because the constitution give us the opportunity through the land tribunal to dispute the dispute a claim that who is the origin, who originally belongs to that land. So there is a dispute over that land, and we are also a claimant, and the other party is also a claimant, but it's a customary land. Then that guy who is claiming that land that it belongs to him, he went and sold that land. Okay? He went and sold that land. Politically, had some arrangement with some politicians, and then they resisted that piece of land. And that land, it's a prime land. You've seen that land, Carl, the one at Takabe Bridge.
Yep.
So that land was sold to a Korean businessman for $20,000. Yes, $20,000. But that's a prime land. That area, I believe, it would be worth $150,000. Because it's a prime land, it's in the area, main center of the town, almost. So, that's the clear example of what is really happening in Vanuatu. The government, who is responsible to make sure that they protect the land, he should be advising and taking strict measure on protecting that land to be sold in the value market value. But because a lot of those land sales were politically motivated, and bribery, then it makes it very difficult for us to protect our land. But it's easy for someone, a foreigner, just walk in, hand out a few cash to a so-called custom owner, influence our land offices, and then bang, sign a document, you got the lease.
No, you need to deliver one nation out of bondage and let them in, and people going will be free. Yes?
Yes!
Yes! Yes! You must have freed that nation of West Papua. Yes!
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 Yes, my God!
Yes!
And our kind people also remember by separate alliance and we continue to belong, invite them more than you can't have seen them, and find them even more. Thank you.